Tonight's message is called Stay Lit. Sometimes, or a lot of times, we'll have these great encounters with God. You know, we'll have we'll go to a camp or a retreat or something, or maybe you know, we get a word of prophecy or something, and that God will really speak to us, and we feel like, man, I'm so close to God, and I'm just like feel Him all the time. And you're like, I never want to change. And then we go home and we get back to school or work or whatever. And what happens? The fire just kind of goes out. Anybody experience that? Anybody? Anybody ever have that happen? I have, personally. We got that song that says, "This or hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan it out." But a lot, like, Who here has ever let Satan it out? I have. It's easy. That's the easy thing to do, is to let Satan it out. So tonight, I'm going to hopefully give you three keys to not letting Satan it out. Stands for blow, in case you guys were curious. Blow it out. Won't let Satan blow it out. Okay? Just in case you never heard that song. Great. Awesome. Why does our fire go out so quickly? What do you guys think? Anybody know? No? Nobody knows? Okay. I've got a story to read you tonight. Do you guys like stories? This story is about 10 virgins. You guys like virgins? No? Okay. I don't... Stories about 10 virgins in the Bible. Matthew 25 goes like this. God's kingdom is like 10 young virgins who took oil lamps and went out to greet the bridegroom. Everybody knows what a bridegroom is, right? Bridegroom. That's the man who's getting married in a wedding. Okay, five were silly and five were smart. The silly virgins took lamps but no extra oil. The smart virgins took jars of oil to feed their lamps. The bridegroom didn't show up when they expected him, and they all fell asleep. In the middle of the night, someone yelled out, "He's here, the bridegroom is here, go out and greet him." The 10 virgins got up and got their lamps ready. The silly virgins said to the smart ones, "Our lamps are going out, let us use some of your oil." The smart virgins answered, "There might not be enough to go around. Go and buy your own." The virgins went and bought their oil, but while they were out, the bridegroom arrived. When everyone who was there to greet him had gone into the wedding feast, the door was locked. Much later, the other virgins, the silly ones, showed up and knocked on the door, saying, "Master, we're here, let us in." He answered to them, "Do I know you? I don't think I know you. So stay alert. You have no idea when he might arrive." So what does this story tell us about our fire? I think before we can like get into that, we need to have a little bit of an understanding about like Jewish customs when it comes to getting married. So I'm going to explain a little bit of that to you. When in America, how does it normally go? The guy likes a girl. He might go to her dad and say, "Hey, I like her. I want to marry her." Or he might not. He gives her a ring. Then they're engaged. They're engaged for a little bit. And then they have a wedding shower. A wedding. They have a wedding. And then they're married, right? It's kind of the way it goes. Well, in the olden days, in Jesus' time, in Bible times, two people, their parents would get together, and they would say, "Hey, I want my son to marry your daughter," when they were babies, okay? And then, like, many, 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 many years later, the guy would go to the girl's dad and say, okay, I want to become engaged or betrothed to your daughter, and they would negotiate a price for how much the daughter was worth, and he would pay the dad that money then. Then the bridegroom would go back to his house and start building a house for them to live in next to his father's house, okay? So they could be engaged for a long time, up to like 2 or 3 years, however long it took to build the house. Once the house was built, and they didn't really see each other that much during the engagement. You guys know in Luke chapter 2 where it says Mary was betrothed to Joseph. That's the period of time they were in. Maybe Joseph was building a house, I'm not sure. But anyway, the bridegroom goes and he builds a house, and then when the bridegroom's father says the house is ready to be lived in, then it's up to the bridegroom when he goes and he gets his wife. She doesn't know when he's coming, okay? She has no clue. And so a lot of times what the bridegroom would try and do is he would show up, like the saying goes, a thief in the night. Have you guys heard of that? He would show up unannounced, unexpected, and sneak his wife away. And they would leave in the middle of the night without anybody else knowing. And then when her bridesmaids, the 10 virgins, would find out that she was missing, they would light their lamps and they would have like this parade to the father's house where they would have this big party and a big feast. Okay? So here in the story, this isn't about somebody who's getting married. This is about the bridesmaids, okay? And now the bridegroom was coming. In this instance, they knew he was coming. And so they had their lamps, and some of them had them lit and some of them didn't. So they weren't able to be a part of the parade to the party. And when they got to the party, the bridegroom said, no, you can't come in. You're late. I don't know you. This is really a story about the rapture and when Jesus comes back, and you know, we can get into all that, but we won't. So anyway, the moral of the story is if you want your fire to burn, you have to have oil, fuel. This candle keeps burning. It hasn't burned out yet. Why is that? Because it's got a long wick and it's burning the wax. You guys know what wax is, right? No? Okay. Well, it's what a candle's made out of. Romans 12:1 says this, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know, when we think of sacrifice in our day, we think, I'm sacrificing watching a Spurs game to go to church tonight. Or I'm making a sacrifice to be with my girlfriend when I would rather be hanging out with the guys. That's how we think of sacrifice a lot of times in our day. But when Paul wrote this, or the writer of Romans wrote this, you got to think of sacrifices in their time. And what is it that they did when they burned sacrifices? They would get an animal and they would go and kill it and pour its blood out, and they would burn the meat. So it was something burning, something fuel. This match, if I light it again,
it burns out, right? The first one I lit, does this make anybody nervous other than me? So what's it doing to the wood right now?
It's consuming it. It's burning it out. The wood is acting as the fuel, and the fire is eating the fuel. It's consuming it. So I want to ask you tonight, what is consuming you? Just think about it. Take 30 seconds and think about, what is it that consumes your time? What is it that is consuming you? Maybe it's school. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe you've got a girlfriend or boyfriend that takes up a lot of your time. Maybe it's the internet. Maybe you spend every day on YouTube watching videos all day. Anybody ever done that? Just spent like 5 hours watching different videos of people singing songs on an acoustic guitar or, you know, whatever they do. Crazy stuff. What is it that consumes your time? Is it God? Is it God that consumes you? What is it that you're passionate about? You know, a lot of times we think of passion as between a guy and a girl or a girl and a guy. Nah, man, I'm just passionate about her. When you're passionate about somebody, what do? You think about them all the time. That's all you talk about. It's all you think about. All when you're not together, the only thing that you can get your mind on is when's the next time I'm going to see this person. Anybody experience that? When you're passionate about something, it consumes you. It's like burning inside of you. Are we passionate for God? Sometimes we are. Sometimes we're not. I'm going to need 3 volunteers. Please. Uno, right now. Come on. Dos. Come on, John. Thank you. Everybody give these guys a young lady, please, would be more than welcome. It's going to be easy. You're not going to have to do anything hard. Come on. Everybody give Tiffany a big hand. I'm going to give you 3 tips to keeping your fire burning, to keeping lit, to keeping fuel on the fire. Because fire needs fuel to burn, right? And without that fuel, it's going to go out, right? Okay. So I'm going to just give me a second to meet with my individuals here. Okay, so the first point, the first thing is Tiffany. What is it that she's doing? Praying. Okay, so point one is pray. What did I teach on like 2 or 3 weeks ago? The 30-second prayer. Has anybody been doing that? Does it work? It works, right? Prayer. Prayer is how we stay connected to God. I gave you that verse, Matthew 21:22, that says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer, right? 30-second prayer. Okay, the second point, Andrew. Yes, reading the Bible. Very good. What did I talk to you guys about last week? Reading Proverbs, reading the Bible. Read it, know it, live it. And when we live the Word of God, it becomes alive. It's no longer just a book and pages. It's something real. It's something alive. It's something moving. It's something tangible. It has flesh on it. Okay, the third point. What do you guys think that is? Yeah. Godly fellowship. All right, give our 3 volunteers a big round of applause for helping me out tonight. So the first one was It's on there. Pray. Second is read, and third is godly fellowship. You know, like, I can light this, and it just keeps... There we go. And it just keeps going, right? It's not like a match. It's got this little fuel cartridge in here. And so as long as it has fuel, it'll keep burning. And so we need to keep putting fuel onto our fire. And the way we do that is by praying, by reading our Proverbs, by reading our Bible, reading our Proverbs, and by golly, friendships. It's really, really, really good to have a friend, maybe just one close friend that you can talk to about God or the Bible or what the Lord's doing in your life, or, hey, what did you read in your proverb this week, this month, this day? It's good to have that friend. It's good to find him. All right? So, Lord Jesus, I pray you would just bless these young people tonight, help them to remember to pray, to read, and to have godly fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we have a special treat for you. I'd like, who has a birthday this week? We saved birthdays for the end. If you had a birthday this week, I'd like for you to please come up to the stage. Anybody? Andrew? Today is Andrew's 14th birthday. Is that right?
Legal.
21st birthday?
18th.
That's a flame retardant shirt, right? It's fireproof?
Yeah.
That's a joke.
No, it's for real.
Oh. Okay. So today is Andrew Hubbard's 18th birthday. I remember I don't remember my 18th birthday. But Andrew's going to remember his because I'm going to set him on fire. Here, look like this. Whatever. Okay. Me and Andrew, we're tight. You know what? Andrew calls me every day. And what do you say?
Did you read your Proverbs?
And what do I say?
Yes.
There you go. Whatever. Okay. So because it's Andrew's birthday and because he loves us all so very, very much, we're going to sing him happy birthday. Yeah, I know. No? You don't want me to sing? Okay. I don't want to. Anybody want to come lead out? All right. Andrew, you can blow out your birthday candle here. Make a wish. Hurry up. Awesome. Because Andrew is a giver, on his birthday he decided he would bring us all pizza for a birthday present to us from him. So we have pizza. I would start off with one slice each, and then we'll go from there. And drinks, and it's on the ping pong table back there. So, Andrew, thank you so much. Is there anything you'd like to tell us before we dismiss?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. All right, everybody, before we eat, just want to say something from my heart. Everybody, moment of silence. For the thousands of people out there. And for those who are at home, hopefully doing their homework and not watching their TV, their whatever. Oh, yeah, by the way, this is my last childish act, I promise. Everybody remember that. I know you will. Want to do it? Just go like this. Just go raise your hands. Right? Let's get ready to party! If you're not not down with that, I got two words for you. Thank you.
Hold on. Get over here. You had me worried there for a second with the two words thing. But anyway, for those of you who don't watch wrestling, don't watch wrestling. Lord, I pray you just bless Andrew tonight as he celebrates his 18th birthday. Lord, that you would be with him and guide him and direct him as he enters this new phase of his life. Lord, I thank you that he's such a blessing to us in this youth group and this family. And I pray that you would just continue to use him to bless other people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want everybody to wish Andrew a big happy birthday tonight, okay? And you guys enjoy some pizza and whatever else you got back there. Thank you, Andrew.
Whenever though they turned to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, their old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it. All of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become more like him. The time.